Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Captured the Corporate Infiltration of American Democracy by U.S. Senator Sheldon Whitehouse is a nonfiction political analysis of how corporate power has come to dominate key parts of American governance. Drawing on Whitehouse's experience as a legislator and former prosecutor and regulator, the book argues that corporate interests have gained disproportionate influence not only through elections and lobbying, but also through less visible channels such as regulatory processes, the court system, and enforcement priorities. A central purpose of the book is explanatory to map the practical mechanisms that allow concentrated private wealth to shape public outcomes while remaining difficult for ordinary voters to see or counter. Whitehouse frames this as a structural problem that cuts across institutions and incentives, rather than a series of isolated scandals. The book also functions as a call for democratic repair, emphasizing transparency, accountability, and reforms that reduce the capacity of moneyed networks to overwhelm public interest policymaking, including in high-stakes areas such as environmental and climate governance. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, government capture as a structural pattern. The book's core idea is that American democracy is not merely influenced by corporate money, but in important arenas is captured, meaning the system increasingly serves organized private interests over the public interest. Whitehouse presents capture as an ecosystem problem. Multiple institutions and decision points interact in ways that tilt outcomes toward well-resourced actors. Instead of treating corruption as individual wrongdoing, the book emphasizes incentives and pathways that are legal or quasi-legal, such as campaign support structures, industry-aligned policy expertise, and revolving door career routes. This framing matters because it shifts the question from who broke the rules to how the rules and norms evolved to produce predictable results. Whitehouse's perspective as a senator allows him to describe how complex policy areas become vulnerable when information is expensive, legislative time is scarce, and specialized lobbying networks can supply ready-made language, arguments, and political cover. The takeaway is that capture is hard to reverse with a single fix because it is reinforced by coordination across money, messaging, and institutional leverage. Understanding capture as a structural pattern sets up the rest of the book's analysis of specific channels where corporate influence becomes durable. Secondly, money in politics, dark money, and influence networks. A major theme is how political spending and influence networks translate economic power into governing power. The book connects campaign finance realities to a broader influence architecture that includes outside groups, nonprofit entities that can obscure donors, and coordinated messaging that shapes what issues lawmakers fear or prioritize. And rather than focusing only on explicit quid pro quo exchanges, Whitehouse stresses the cumulative effect of constant financial pressure in elections and party ecosystems. Candidates and office holders adapt to the funding environment by seeking safe positions, avoiding well-funded backlash, or aligning with donor priorities that can be framed as ideologically consistent. The emphasis on dark money highlights how opacity complicates accountability. Voters may see the ads and the pressure, but not the financial sources or strategic coordination behind them. The book also links these networks to agenda setting, making it easier to block regulation than to pass affirmative reforms, especially when well-financed actors can sustain long-term campaigns across election cycles. In this view, money in politics is not just about buying votes in Congress. It is about building durable capacity to reward allies, punish dissent, and define the boundaries of acceptable policy debate. Thirdly, regulatory capture and the weakening of enforcement. Whitehouse extends the idea of capture beyond elections into the daily machinery of governance, where agencies write rules, enforce standards, and police misconduct. The book describes how regulated industries can shape regulatory outcomes through persistent lobbying, industry-friendly expertise, and pressure on budgets and leadership appointments. Because regulation is technical, corporate actors often enjoy advantages they can fund specialists, maintain long-term institutional memory, and flood agencies with comments, studies, and legal threats. The revolving door between industry and government further blurs lines, encouraging officials to avoid antagonizing potential future employers and encouraging industries to cultivate insider access. Whitehouse also points to the importance of enforcement discretion. Even strong laws can be undermined if agencies lack resources, leadership commitment, or political space to pursue violations aggressively. The result is a governance environment where rules may exist on paper while real-world compliance is negotiated, delayed, or narrowed by spotlighting regulatory capture. The book argues that corporate influence can entrench itself even when election outcomes shift, because agencies operate continuously and often outside public attention. This makes regulatory repair, staffing integrity, and transparency central to restoring democratic control. Fourthly, courts, judicial selection, and the legal architecture of power. Another key focus is the judiciary and the legal infrastructure that shapes what government is allowed to do. White House discusses how corporate-aligned legal strategies can influence outcomes through litigation, strategic case selection, and sustained efforts to move courts toward doctrines favorable to corporate interests. The book links this to broader battles over judicial appointments and the long-term consequences of who interprets statutes, regulations, and constitutional principles. Because courts can invalidate regulations, narrow agency authority, or expand the protections available to political spending, they become a critical arena in which corporate influence can be locked in for decades. White House's argument is less about individual judges than about systemic leverage. Well-funded legal organizations can develop arguments over years, cultivate networks of supportive lawyers, and maintain pipelines of influence that shape how issues are framed for courts. Judicial decisions can also redirect political conflict, moving disputes from democratic forums into legal venues where resource asymmetries are larger and public visibility is lower. In this account, Capture operates through legal rules and precedents that determine the permissible scope of democratic action, making the courts a central battleground in the struggle over public versus private power. Lastly, climate policy as a case study of coordinated obstruction. The book uses climate and environmental policy as a prominent example of how multiple forms of influence can converge to stall public interest action. Climate regulation affects powerful economic sectors, and White House describes how sustained corporate resistance can operate simultaneously across elections, messaging, regulatory processes, and litigation, rather than attributing inaction to simple disagreement. The case study illustrates how uncertainty and delay can be manufactured as political strategies, making it easier to block action than to build consensus for solutions. The climate arena also demonstrates how corporate influence can target the institutions most capable of acting, such as environmental regulators, prosecutors, and courts, by pressuring budgets, challenging rules, and shaping the terms of public debate. White House's emphasis on this topic reflects his broader point that capture becomes most visible when the stakes are high and the public interest is clear. Yet government remains persistently constrained. The climate example is also useful analytically because it shows feedback loops political spending fuels messaging. Messaging changes electoral incentives. Altered incentives affect appointments and oversight, and those decisions influence regulatory capacity and legal durability. As a result, the case study functions as a concrete illustration of the broader Capture framework. In conclusion, Captured is best suited for readers who want a structured explanation of how corporate influence is exercised in the United States beyond the familiar images of lobbyists and campaign donations, policymakers, advocates, students of political economy, and general readers concerned with democratic responsiveness will gain a clear map of institutional pressure points, elections, information flows, agencies, courts, and enforcement systems. The practical benefit is diagnostic. Even if a reader disagrees with parts of White House's political framing, the book helps clarify why reform debates often stall and why certain policy outcomes repeat across administrations. It also encourages readers to think in terms of systems and incentives rather than isolated scandals, which is essential for evaluating proposals like transparency rules, campaign finance changes, ethics constraints, and institutional capacity building for regulators. Compared with other prominent works on money and politics, the book stands out for its insider vantage and its insistence that capture is multi-channel and legally sophisticated, not merely a matter of backroom deals. It complements investigative accounts by emphasizing how influence becomes embedded in ordinary governing processes. Ultimately, the book's value lies in connecting the dots across institutions and showing how democratic accountability can erode even while formal procedures remain intact. If you would like to support Sheldon Whitehouse, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.